Continue in the series that the Lord has me in, talking about the power of kingdom speaking. And when I've been looking over, you know, what the Lord has had us teaching, you know, I did a long series, Jesus. Is that on? I'm just Jesus, you know, who he is, Jesus the shepherd, Jesus the healer, Jesus, just all the different roles that Jesus fulfills. And then, you know, we talked about the power of the blood of Jesus, and then we talked about faith and how important our faith is. And then the Lord just really took us right into, like, the power of speaking, like, knowing the power of our words is so important. And so last week we did the Vision Sunday, but the 2 weeks before that, 1 week I spoke about how God spoke everything into existence, and how because we're made in our image, his image and likeness, we need to understand the power of our words, because our words are creating things. You know, whether you like it or not, your words, it's kind of like the Lord said to me when I was like, you know, well, how come I have to always meditate on the word? And he said to me, you're going to be thinking about something. You know, like, and so it's like, if you're going to think about something, let's think about the word. It's the same thing. Like, if we're going to speak, let's make sure it's the word, because we're planting seeds. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. But God spoke everything into existence, and his declarations were a covenant. Like, when he speaks, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he would repent. So when he speaks, it's a covenant. It's a sure thing. It's something we can absolutely rely on. And then we talked about how when he gave a man the ability to name different things, when you name something, you actually have dominion over it. Until it turns 18, then you don't have any dominion anymore. And then sometimes it's before then. But anyway, when you name something, you know, you have dominion over it. And that's why Adam named the animals, because God had given him dominion over the animals. And then I talked the week about Jesus and how, you know, from the moment he hit the River Jordan and was baptized, like, he never looked back. He never referred to himself as Joseph the carpenter's son. He, you know, the Father said to him, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And from that moment forward, he walked, and not that he didn't know beforehand, but at that moment forward, he walked as a child of God. And he always referred to himself based on what the word of God said about him, not his past, not, I mean, his own hometown didn't even, you know, they were just like, well, that's just Joseph, the carpenter's son. No, he was a child of God. He was a son of God. And so to me, that's an example to all of us that when we come into the kingdom, right, that from that moment forward, our past is completely gone, right? And who we are now is what he says about us. Right? And, you know, that moment can happen. Luckily, that, I mean, we don't get born again, but, you know, when we mess up along the way, which happens, it doesn't change who we are. And what we just do is keep coming back to declaring what the word says about us. You just had a forgetful moment and you thought you were that old person and you behaved like that, but the truth, it never changed. You now are a child of God, right? And it's, and so we, so that's what Jesus did. And he's a demonstration to us of how we're supposed to live his life. He, in our life, well, it is his life, but, and I talked about how, like, just in the book of John, all the different I am statements he used. You know, I am the river of living water. I am the vine. He just kept talking about who I am, the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we talked about the fact that, you know, you come to a place where, you know, people talk about wanting to coexist with other religions. Well, first of all, Christianity isn't a religion. It's a reality. It's a spiritual reality we live in. But the second thing is, you know, you can't put Jesus in with other religions, because he doesn't coexist. Like, he doesn't mix with anybody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, he's the only way. And either he was always telling the truth or he was totally nuts, right? Because he declared some pretty incredible things. So we know he declared the truth. So we know he's the way, the truth. So and also when he was by Satan, he didn't just have thoughts. He declared the word. Like, we need to declare the word. We need to speak the word, because there's power in us speaking it. So it's not just, I mean, are we supposed to meditate on the word? Absolutely. But we need to speak the word as well. And so that's what we've been talking about. So I want to kind of revisit one little thing, and that is, I want to go to Genesis 3:15. Excuse me. Genesis 3:15. And I want to go back to Mary conceiving Jesus, because there's some powerful truths that I want to open up here. Genesis 3:15, it says, this is God speaking the curses that came as a result of Adam and Eve eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Well, what's interesting here is, and we know this, is that medically, a woman doesn't carry a seed. A woman doesn't have a seed biologically. And yet this is saying that it's the woman's seed that's going to crush the head of Satan. So let's go to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at the story again. I spoke about this during Christmas time, but I want to look at Luke chapter 1 and go through the story of where Mary conceived Jesus, starting in verse 30. It says, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And we talked about this, the fact that her question came from a very pure heart. Right, it wasn't like Zacharias, who was kind of like, listen, we've been trying for years, buddy, and this isn't happening, and I'm so old, how can this happen? Like his question came out of a heart of unbelief and discouragement, right? But her question came out of a pure heart. His words had such potential to do destruction and stop the plan of God that God shut his mouth. That child wouldn't be aborted. That's how powerful our words are. God can have a destiny and purpose for us, but we can stop and abort the plan of God by what we speak. And that's why Zacharias' mouth needed to be shut. And if you notice, it was not opened until John the Baptist was named John, because that's what the angel had declared should happen. So that's how powerful our words are. So, but her question comes from a pure heart. How is this going to work out? Because I haven't been with a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. And this is really interesting to me, because he's talking about all three of them being involved, right? I think probably about a year or so ago, I did a teaching about our oneness with Christ. And I was talking, if you look, I'm just going to digress for a minute so you can give you a context for this. But in Ephesians 5, it talks about the wedding between a man and a woman. And it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, right? And Paul says, this is a mystery, but I'm really speaking concerning Christ and the church, that what's revealed in a marital union between a man and a woman is the marriage between Christ and his bride. So what the Lord showed that, you know, so a man shall leave his father, so Jesus shall leave his father and his mother, the Holy Spirit, and shall cleave to his wife, the bride of Christ, and the two shall become one flesh. Okay? So then when we look at this, what happened? The Holy Spirit, kind of like the mother, came upon her. The power of the Highest, which is the Father, will overshadow you. Therefore, also, what comes out, the Holy One who was born will be called. Your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Now the angel departed, why? Because she was good. Because he knew that her heart had lined up. And I think about how pure her heart was. You know, in Proverbs it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. How pure her heart must have been that when this angel came to her and said, you're going to have the Son of God, the Holy Spirit and the Father are going to come, and you're going to have the Son of God, that she said, be it unto me according to your will. Her heart was pure, Because so many, because I say to you that this is what God is standing before every single one of us, saying, this is who you really are. This is who I created you to be. And wait, we argue. We're like, oh, no. That can't be me. No, you are created with a destiny. You're created with a purpose. I love you, right? And in her heart, she had kept her heart so pure that she was just able to receive that. And because what we should be saying to God all the time when he comes to us and he speaks to us through his word is, be it unto me according to your word. Right? Just be it unto me according to your word. I'm not arguing. Like, you, this is what you've said. Be it unto me according to your word. So she is such an example to us of how we are to respond to God. Now, when I was looking at this, and actually I was listening to a teaching by Brian Guerin that really kind of was brought all this together, and that is that, you know, when you look at Matthew and Luke, they teach about the birth of Jesus, but it's very much there was this lineage, you know, it was this one begat this one, and this is what happened, right? But when we look at what John talks about, the conception and birth of Jesus, it's that mystical level that takes it to a whole. He John had a revelation that was beyond what so many others had. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So he understands the power of the Word. And then if we go to verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John knew that Jesus was the Word made flesh. So what was the seed that Mary conceived in her womb? It was Jesus, but a lot of times we forget that it was the Word. It was the Word that was conceived in her womb, and she put flesh on it. The Word went into her womb. And what seed did she contribute to that? Be it unto me according to your word. Right? So the seed of the woman conquered the seed of Satan. Wow. She conceived the Word in her womb, and she put flesh on it. So I was just like, wow. So John had this revelation that Jesus was the Word made flesh. So Jesus is the seed referred to, but like I said, we need to understand that Jesus is the Word, and believe me, we need to know him deeply and intimately. We need to know that he, you know, was human. He still has a body. He still has holes in his hands and his feet, right? But he is glorified. He's in a glorified body now. But man, we need to know that this Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. That's the power of the Word. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about here fallen mankind. And again, you know, we know that God had planned before he even created earth. We know that he had already the plan was that Jesus was going to come, right? So just humor me for a minute. But I just imagine them, the three of them are like, okay, so man's fallen, right? And they need salvation. Well, who are we going to send? We're going to send the Word. Like of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have fallen mankind. They need a healer. Which three of us? The Word. Right? Because God exalts his Word above his name. So they need a redeemer. Who should we send? Not Ghostbusters. We should send Jesus. We should send the Word. They need peace. What do we send? We send the Word. They need to be made righteous. What should we send? We should send the Word. They need a provider. Who should we send? The Word. They need a healer. We should send the Word. They need the Lord of hosts. We should send the Word. They need a sanctifier. We'll need to send the Word. They need a bridegroom. We'll send a Word. That was the answer. The word is what's the answer to everything that man has. That's the power, everything that man needs. That's the power that of the three, that was the one. And I know Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead embodied. I'm not saying that. And I know he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and the Father was with him. I'm not saying that. But it's just when the three of them looked around and said, who needs to go? It was the word that was sent. It was the word that was sent. That is the importance of the word, right? I don't think it was just because Jesus volunteered. It's because they knew that that was the most powerful thing that needed to go was the word. And the word needed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit in relationship with the Father, absolutely. But that's the power of the word. And he came in flesh for us. You know, he says in one, and I don't have the scripture, but Psalm 107 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered from their destruction. John 6:63, Jesus said, is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. His word is just so powerful. So Mary becomes an example to us of receiving what the Lord has done. And again, the seed was Jesus. The seed was the word. The Father and the Holy Spirit were involved in all that. And her contribution was, let it be unto me according to your word. And that's what we need to do as the Lord speaks to us and he opens up the word to us. If we don't think that words are powerful, then we really can't even believe in our own salvation. If we don't think our words are powerful, then you have nothing to stand on when it comes. Because when we look at Romans, it says in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I want to say that you can be hearing. This is the faith for God comes by hearing, because you can be listening to fear all day long, right? It's what voice are you listening to? If you're listening to the voice of the enemy, it's going to bring fear. It's going to bring faith for the wrong things. So faith for God, faith for us to stand in the word of God and the truth of God comes by hearing the word of God, right? And notice it doesn't say reading. Not that reading is important. Reading is absolutely important. But it comes by hearing. Like this, us speaking the word is powerful. And listening to other people speak the word is really powerful. But you know what voice has, other than God's voice, hopefully, the second most influential voice in your life is yours. Is yours. And so that's why it's so important for us to be speaking the truth of God's word over our hearts. Now, Tuffy brought a word a couple of weeks ago that goes along with this, because if you're a person who doesn't tell the truth, if you're a person who speaks to please people, and you're not, if your heart won't be able to believe what you say. Your heart will doubt you, because if you're someone who is just appeases people and says something to just kind of go along with them, even though you really don't believe that, then what's going to happen is when you start talking the word to yourself, your heart doesn't know whether to believe it or not. That's how important it is for us to walk in truth and integrity and really speak our truth, keep our mouths shut, right? Because your heart won't know, is this something I really believe or not? Because you say so many things that we know aren't really true. So do I believe you when you speak the word? So it becomes so important for us to really let the Holy Spirit convince us of the word and then speak the word, but also walk in integrity in our lives, in our day-to-day life, Because that voice has the most power over us, hopefully other than the Lord. And so it's really important for us to do that. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess, I like the word, because people think of confession as sins. That's not what it's saying. It's saying if you confess Jesus, or if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. So there's this relationship between your heart and your mouth. And like I said, if you don't believe in the power of your words, then you're never going to be able to believe for your salvation, because your salvation came to you because you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's what you're standing on. So that's how powerful words are. We saw how powerful words are with Mary. We saw how powerful words were with Zacharias, and that God had to close his mouth. So when we look at, let's look at 1 Peter 1:23. He's been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through God, which lives and abides forever. So for us, when we confess with our mouth and declare Jesus Christ as our Lord and in our heart, we are born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the same seed that Jesus was born of. It's the same seed. We become secure in our relationship as children of God with him, because we're born of that incorruptible seed. So I want to talk about a couple of things that undermine people. I mean, next week I'm going to talk a lot about, you know, seed time and harvest and things like that. But today I want to talk about some of the obstacles that come up, or the resistances that come up as we each begin to start really speaking the word of God over our lives, and how to navigate that process. So I want to talk about the fact that we stand in faith. That our lives now in Christ, you know, in the Old Testament under the law, so the Mosaic law, to get the blessings of God, if you go to like Deuteronomy 28, right? So verses 1 through 14 are the blessings, and verses 15 through 68, that's all of verses, are the curses. And so under the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, they were under bondage. Like they had to perform. There were these rules or 600 and some odd laws that they had to perform to be able to have, you know, right standing with God. And even if they did all of them, they still didn't have right standing with God, because the problem wasn't them performance. The problem was they needed his spirit inside of them, right? They needed to be born again. So you never really could get anywhere. He could just kind of hopefully keep you in line somewhat, right? So that's the Mosaic law, was all these curses, if your blessings if you do well, and curses if you don't do well, and all the commandments and the laws. Well, we know Jesus came, right? And he became a curse for us, and he fulfilled the law, right? So now when we come to him, those curses and those are gone in Christ, and now we walk in the blessings and the provision and everything he did for us. And it's so important to understand this, because this confession thing ran so amok. You know, if any of you have been around for any amount of time, you know that this speaking thing really ran amok, because people were carnal, and they were like, oh great, I want a Cadillac, and they started. I mean, you know, what are we really after, right? We're after walking in the presence of God to glorify God. And so when we're talking about speaking promises and provision, that's what we're talking about. It's for the purposes that our lives will glorify him, right? That's what it's about. So Jesus paid a tremendous price to get us into the kingdom so that we could walk in the fullness of God. And I was thinking about this, and could you imagine if we really all walked in that fullness? What a testimony that would be, because he says by his stripes we are healed. What if all of the Christians really believe that, and all of a sudden the only people going to the hospitals are people who don't believe in Jesus? Right? Just think about this. What if the only people going to banks for a loan are the people who don't believe in Jesus? Because we've got so much abundance. What if we were so abundant that we were sowing into all these ministries? Because, I mean, God wants to bless us, but he also wants to get money through us. And so the Christian ministries were the ones who had the most money and didn't have to be on the television begging you all the time and telling you, if you give me $1,000, you'll get your blessing. Right? I mean, just think about, sometimes we get so dull in our thinking. Like, I thought about that. God, what a testimony that would be. And that's the way it should be in the world. People should look at us and be like, man, I have got to get into the kingdom you're in, because I am in the wrong one. Like, this one stinks. Right? That's the reality of the kingdom. That's what he came for. That's what he came to give us, right? And there's no condemnation. We're all growing up into him in all things. But, you know, we have to, like I always say to you, like we have to get it on the radar at least. That it's, oh, that's like, the, okay, now we have a target, right, Tuffy? We have a target. I got something to shoot for, right? I'm in training. I might be a little like this sometimes, but I got a target, right? And the target is that the Christians don't ever have to go to a doctor or hospital. They don't ever have to go to a bank. They don't ever have to, people never have to doubt what we say because we walk in such integrity and such honesty, and we're so compassionate, and we're so merciful, and we're so loving, and we're so kind, and we're so powerful that we're healing the sick, we're cleansing the lepers, we're raising the dead. Man, we'd have a line outside this church. There's no big enough for that. Amen. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be walking in. I'm preaching. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. All of this comes by faith. And one of the main places the enemy is going to try to get you is talking to you about your performance. He's going to tell you you don't deserve it. You didn't read your Bible enough today. You didn't pray enough today. You didn't speak nicely to your husband today. And therefore, you can't have the blessings. And that is a lie. That is a lie. Not that we don't do those things, but we don't do them to get. He gives it to us by grace. So I want to just go to Romans 3 for a minute. Well, probably more than a minute. Romans 3, 21. Romans 3, 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed." So God always wants to be made righteous and holy children of God, not based on our performance. The law was never his best for us. It was never his best. He always wanted us to enjoy a relationship with him. And so he wanted to restore that to us. So the righteousness which is apart from the law is revealed, witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law and the prophets were always pointing to this time when there would be new creation people walking in the fullness of a relationship with God. And it's even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, the Jews and the non-Jews, everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew. Everybody fell short. But what people miss about that statement is, what did you fall short of? You fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means you were meant to carry the glory of God. Right? That's what we were meant to carry his glory. Right, we focus so much on falling short. No, the target is we're supposed to carry God's glory. So I'm being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, faith to demonstrate his grace. Right? So through faith, we become the righteousness of God in Christ. And I know of us know this, but it's so important for us to remind ourselves of this, because so quickly the enemy comes to try to steal the provision, promises, and the truth of God's word, because he tries to get us to look at our performance, and it's not based on that. It is not based on that. because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. He's talking about the Jews, right? He had animals slayed and the blood was spilled, and that was used to kind of cover over the sins of the Jews. It didn't cleanse them of it. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It's faith in Jesus. So then he says, you know, we can't boast in anything. We can't boast anything. It's excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Faith is a law. And there's access. We have access to the provision of Christ through faith. By faith, apart from so important to us, because we still very much, when we're trying to walk in things, we very much have an a works mentality. And it's so important that we get out from under that, because like I said, the provision and blessings of the Lord, the promises, are all based on faith. Romans 3:31 says, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. In other words, by becoming a new creation, by faith, by having him come in us and regenerate us, we'll live from our new hearts, and therefore we'll fulfill the law just by our relationship with Christ, not by nothing else that we do. It's just our relationship, you know, reading the word, having a relationship with him, our hearts turn. I mean, I promise everyone in here, you know, is like, Lord, I just want, there's an area in your life you want to do better. Right? Maybe even more than one. I know I have more than one. Right? But why is that? Why do you want to do better? Because you have a heart towards God. And when there's an area that you're feeling and you're like, oh, gosh, Lord, I just help me, you know, bring me to a higher level. Our hearts are towards him. So but we access that new creation reality of who we are, we access it by faith. We access it by saying, oh, God, you've already imparted that to me. Right? You've made me righteous, and now I grab that and I walk by faith in what you say you've already done for me. So one of the things that we need to understand when we begin declaring the word of ourselves is what it talks about in Romans 8, 6, and 7. And I've talked about this before, but to be carnally minded is death, this is a good example the Lord used. So carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Just think about Jesus. Okay, so he appears human, right? And he's going to be beaten beyond recognition, right? And his back is torn up, he's bloody, he's covered with wounds, right? And big gashes. That looks like death, right? He carries his cross all the way to Golgotha. He freely puts himself on the cross as they hang him. Everything about that scenario looks like this is not a good day. It's a bad day, right? In the natural, right? That to be carnally minded, that thing looks like this is over with. But Jesus was spiritually minded. And he went through all that knowing that going through that beating, he was bringing healing to all of mankind. He went to that cross and spilled his blood all over the earth because he knew the spilling of his blood was going to make the righteousness of God and a relationship with God available to all of mankind. That's called being spiritually minded. So he wasn't looking at the natural, and he was able to bear the natural because he understood what was happening. And again, most people would say, man, you're crazy. How can you see the whole world? Well, you don't know who I am. Right? But he knew that. He knew who he was, and he knew when he was going through all that, and he chose to die. He didn't die of his wounds. He died because he said, now it's time. But he went through all of that because he was spiritually minded, which is life and peace. He understood what he was paying was going to bring freedom to all of mankind. So that's the place that we need to be, because if we're carnally minded, it will trip us up. It says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Well, what's the law of God? It's the law of faith. This is why the carnal mind cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, because the carnal mind is the opposite of faith. We operate by faith. The carnal mind only knows how to operate based on what it sees in the natural, right? So I say this to you to say that when you begin to walk in, you know, by his stripes I'm healed, because that's what the word of God says, and your carnal mind's going to say, well, what the heck are you talking about? Your leg really, really hurts. But I'm not carnally minded. I'm spiritually minded, which is life and peace. And I know that I live in, right? And then your mind is going to say to you, well, you know, you're just lying. I mean, right? We've all heard that. You're lying. But the thing is that God is not a man that he should lie. And God says that by his stripes I'm healed. Therefore, I can declare what the word is saying in confidence, because God is not a man that he should lie. And as long as I'm speaking the word, I'm you don't ground it based on what you feel or what you think or any of those things. You ground it on the fact that God's not a liar. Okay, heart, you may have heard me lie once and twice, but God's never lied. And so I can talk, I can speak the fact that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, even though this little thing happened over here, because God said that, and he doesn't lie. So if you have issue with it, then you need to go talk to him. Right? Because God doesn't lie. So I ground myself on what the Word says, because that's truth. Regardless of what I think, how I evaluate things, I base it based on God, because God cannot tell a lie. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So those are huge, huge. I know, like I said, as you begin to start speaking the word, that this is where the enemy comes, and he tries to come in, undermining your position before God, like you really aren't righteous. He'll come against that, and he'll come against you with natural circumstances. So when we get transferred from one kingdom to the other by the confession of the word, we'll go to Ephesians 2:4. It says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We've talked about that. It's all by faith, right? You've been saved by grace through faith. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's your position. Your position is that you are seated with him in heavenly places. You are a child of God, right? And that's how we walk this out. It's the new creation reality. Again, we're not in a religion. We're in a reality of God's kingdom. We're children of God. And if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness that he imparts, all these other things are added to you, right? So we have a relationship with him. And so this is where our faith stands on, and that faith, this is the confession that comes out of our mouth. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so this is why, especially now because we're new creations, why it's so important for us to be grounded in the word, grounded in our identity in Christ, and the fact that it's by faith, and then speak the word of God with power. When we sit down, when you're reading scriptures, read it out loud. Read it out loud. And don't just go from one verse to the next verse. Like, you need to, the Holy Spirit is hovering, just like the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth, right? And then God spoke, and it brought that forth. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is with you. And as you sit there and you begin to read the word, like, and you read it out loud, and your, like I said, your heart at first is probably going to buck. It'll be like, well, that's not true. Well, that's not true. Well, that's not true. Right? I mean, am I the only one who's ever experienced that? No, I am. Just you and me, Malachi. The rest of them, we're just going to, we're going to be tutored. But I mean, that you start confessing the word and every argument comes up saying this isn't true. Right? But that's not, we speak it because he says it's true, and because we're seated with him in heavenly places, and we understand now that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and the enemy wants your tongue. I'm going to talk more about this next week, but he wants your tongue. He wants your tongue, because he can, through that tongue, he not only can undermine your life, but he can undermine the lives of other people. Because other people have undermined your life because of their tongue. Because you had a place in your heart for them, and they spoke, and it went in, right? And then you have to spend, like, 3 years with Jesus trying to pull that out, right? Now, one moment, the Holy Ghost can pull that thing out, right? Right? But now we have a shield of faith, right? And so those darts, the fiery darts, come, and we don't let them get in. But we have to have that shield of faith, and we have to know the truth, and we need to understand that what we speak really matters. It really matters. And I, you know, as I've been studying this out, man, the Lord has just really convicted me in a good way. I mean, because conviction always inspires, right? Condemnation makes you feel like dirt. It never comes from the Lord. It never comes to the Lord. Conviction is, this is the goal and you can do it. With me, you can do it. That's what conviction says. Okay, I'm going to live at a higher level and God's going to help me do this. right? And so it inspires you. It shows you that there's greater. So we need to understand that, and we need to understand the power of our words and the power of our thinking. You know, so many times we walk around and we're like, well, I don't feel loved, and they hear God's voice, but I don't hear God's voice. You have this tape running in the back of your mind, this tape. And so really what throughout the day, what you need to be thinking and what you need to be speaking is, His scripture says that my sheep hear my voice. I'm one of his voice, and I'm one of his sheep. So I hear his voice. And you just start meditating. I hear your voice, Lord. My steps are ordered of you. You know, every situation that comes up, Lord, I have the wisdom to handle the situation. I have the mind of Christ, and there's nothing for me to fear, Lord. I'm hidden under the shadow of your wings. Like, just if you just spend time thinking that way, how different would your life be? How different would our lives be if we just were thinking the word, meditating on the word, and then declaring the word over and over again, right? Instead of the doubt and unbelief that we say. It's so important for us to be monitoring what we say and keep confessing the truth of the word. People will say that, you know, well, this becomes bondage. We don't realize how much bondage we're already in by not watching our mouths. We have created so much bondage for ourselves. And so yeah, it's a challenge to start stopping that thing from just speaking, right? But there's nobody who's walking in the fullness of what, nobody who's walking at a great level, I don't know who's walking in the great fullness of it, but anybody who's walking in really high levels of who they are in Christ, I promise you that a part of their journey was declaring the truth of God's word over themselves. That was a big, important piece of that. And convincing their hearts. It's nobody gets into this and goes, oh yeah, of course I'm the righteousness of God, and just walk it out. I mean, maybe Dan Moeller, maybe. But you know what I'm saying? But even him, if you look at his testimony, he spent months and years speaking the truth of God's word over himself. Speaking the truth. This is so important. We've had years of people, you know, from television, from your own mouth, from other people's mouths, defining us by things that are not true. And to think that we're going to just start speaking this and it's going to change instantly is not reality. Anyway, John 14, verses 12, it says, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So that's not, I believe that one of the reasons why we don't see that is because our hearts aren't fully convinced. Our hearts really aren't fully convinced of that. And until we can continue to speak the word of God over ourselves and really allow it to change, to convince our hearts of the truth of God, the truth of who we are, the truth of what he's called us to, the truth of all those things, until we do that, then our words don't have the power that God created them to have. And that's why, I mean, people share that, you know, as they've grown in this, they'll see things happen. And the reason why is because there's no filter. Heart is just fully aligned with it. So when they speak it, it has power. And that's the place that we all want to come to, right? Is where there's just no resistance. And we know God's will so well that we're speaking his will, and then we see it manifest because there's nothing muddying the waters. Like, the pipe is clear. It's clear stream that's running through there. Like, all the lies have been washed out. All the deception has been washed out. All the negative beliefs that we have about ourselves has been washed out. Right? And so we can just, when we speak it, we know it's God's will, and we declare it, and we know it comes to pass. And it just happens. It happens, right? And I'm going to talk more about that next week. So our lives are supposed to be, mankind, he sent the word. I'm just going to summarize. Redeem mankind, he sent the word. Of the three of the Trinity, they were like, you're the one who needs to go. That's how important the word is. We are born of the same Jesus, the incorruptible seed of him. We are in the new covenant. It's all by faith. It's not based on our works. Don't let the enemy put you under that bondage. The carnal mind will buck at this because it does not know how to live by faith. So you need to override that thing. Tell it to shut up. And we can speak with confidence and really come to a place where we can speak the word, and it's not bondage to us, it's freedom. I promise, as we speak the word more, like, you get addicted to it. Why wouldn't we speak good things? Right? Why? I'll go into that next week. But anyway, it's like, why would we not speak God's word? Because it brings life. It brings life. We've been so addicted to death, we've been speaking death. And the enemy has tried to say that we need to speak life, because life is truth. It's Jesus, and his word, the word of God, came to us in flesh, and it saved us from our destruction. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for for everyone here. And Lord, I just speak that, you know, just inspiration to every single person, that this week, Holy Spirit, you are speaking truth to them. You are opening their ears in greater ways, their eyes in greater ways, their hearts in greater ways to receive all that you are and all that you have. Lord, Holy Spirit, help us to really be aware of what we say, because that's where it starts. It's just an awareness of what we say, not for condemnation, not for guilt, not for shame, but just as saying, Lord, I want to begin to really watch the way I speak. Help me. And if I'm already watching, Lord, take us to a greater level. So of just really watching what we speak. And Lord, help us to just speak your truth, because that you came to set us free, and your word, your spirit, your life sets us free. I thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.